Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. So coming back to my channel, well, as part of my public service broadcasting, I've got to give people my sage counsel. Do not go to the Russian Federation or indeed Belarus until certainly the Ukraine is war is over. And maybe for several years after that, until relations are normal, they're not going to return to cordiality for a long time. And I'll tell you why, because obviously the Putin regime likes arresting Westerners or citizens of any countries which have materially supported Ukraine. It could be from Japan or perhaps South Korea, not Western countries, but countries that have certainly given financial aid to Ukraine, even if not military aid directly. And you could be arrested, charged with a crime and found guilty of a crime that you did not commit. Even if the Russian court is certain that you're innocent, they would still find you guilty. Because that's creating hostages for the Putin regime, and you're a tradable asset. They can exchange people to get you out. You saw those 16 people who were released, some of them were Russian citizens. It's perhaps surprising the United States government bothered with them. So the countries that released people to get these 16 people out of Russian prisons were the Germany, Norway, Slovenia. Was there anywhere else? Yeah, they released only six people. And the United States didn't release anyone this round. They got American citizens, sometimes dual Russian-American citizens. Vladimir Karamurza, a dual British-Russian citizen. So the United Kingdom notably didn't release anybody, but did get someone freed and so on. And the Norwegians, they let somebody go, but they didn't get anybody back in exchange. The Slovenians, they let that husband and wife out, and they didn't get anybody back. I mean, the Russians got six back. They'll say eight, but it was the children of that couple of Russian spies who were caught in Slovenia using false Argentine identities. The girl and boy were sent back, having brought up to believe they're Argentine, speaking Spanish, having no idea they were Russian till they were flying back. To the extent they had to greet Putin in Spanish because the parents only spoke Spanish to them for fear if they spoke Russian to them, the kids might blurt out Russian in public. People say, what? I thought you were Argentine. So it's very, very risky to go there. And I came back from Russia 5 years ago, but it was nerve-wracking even when I was there, nail-biting, because although I never did anything wrong, because I've got this absolute fascination for geopolitics, that might seem deeply suspicious to them. I'm utterly obsessed with international affairs and the domestic politics of various countries, including Russia. And that search history would not look good. I got a British friend who's been back and forth several times since the war began. He stopped in the airport by the Federalnaya Služba Bezopasnosti, the Federal Security Service, and they take his phone, laptop off him, give us your password. They're going through it for hours, seeing his search history, questioning him, and led through it, been back and forth several times. Fortunately for him, he's completely indifferent to the war and whatever else. And so they're not too suspicious of him, but they could change their mind and sling him in the slammer. And that there's so few people now that the FSB might actually have the resources to tell you, even if you're not no good, might feel harassed, might feel faintly frightening. And I know a German guy has been there since the war began. I thought that was really worrisome. Now, he was allowed in and out because the Ruskies were really keen to catch more Germans. And Belarus arrested that German guy, charged him with or convict him of espionage or whatever, terrorism, and sent him to death by firing squad. But then he was suddenly pardoned and released. I mean, I think Putin released him. I think he's one of the 16 we can say is released by Belarus, actually. But to get out Vadim Krasikov, because Putin wanted his murder released by Germany, he's very keen to catch Germans. They had a particularly high value. But when I was there, was a Norwegian guy convicted of espionage. All right, he might have done it. I don't know. There was Paul Whelan, who's Irish, British, American, and Canadian, former US Marine, former, was it, police officer, went there saturnine, stony-faced character, but saying to a friend's wedding and then began contacting Russian military men he'd never met out of the blue, saying, as a former military man, we'd hit it off, let's be friends. And was persuaded to give a memory stick to somebody else, which supposedly contained classified information, was convicted of espionage on that basis. Was it a sting? Was it a setup? I don't know. And Daniel Antonov, do you think Annika is descending for a long time? I mean, let's not exaggerate. It's not as bad as you know, the Cold War era, because Russians, you can still get visas to come to the Republic of Ireland, you know, Schengen visas, or come to the UK. Irish people, Brits, other Westerners, we can still go to Russia. It obviously couldn't the Cold War. I mean, almost never till, say, the 60s at least. So international travels like that, they've not blocked the internet completely. They've blocked some sites. Things were almost hermetically sealed to 1991. There was very limited information in the Soviet Union about outside. If Western tourists went, they had to go with the in tourist. They could only stay in certain hotels. They'd be escorted at all times. You couldn't wander off freely. They couldn't go to the Baltics at all. There are actually still some closed military cities. And when I was dating this Russian nanny, whose ex-husband lived there, I made sure not to ask questions about it in case that raised suspicions. But the assumption was you couldn't go there. To loads of places. It was the exception with a very few places like Kyiv, Moscow, Leningrad, as then it was, that you were permitted to visit. So it was not going to go that far back. And of course, there are a couple of million Russian citizens living in Western countries. There are at least tens of thousands of Westerners living in Russia. So it's not as bad as it was. And it's just technologically, actually, almost unfeasible to completely cut off communication or access to information. But the difference was, in those days, Russia, the Soviet Union rather, was the center of an ideology that was subscribed to by something like a quarter of the world's population. And Russia doesn't really have any firm allies. Even Belarus hasn't joined them in this madcap escapade in Ukraine. Even North Korea has not sent a single soldier. I mean, has sold them some dud shells and that kind of thing. And one thing is that does actually give Russia greater flexibility, because this ideological promiscuity that Putin will give aid and comfort to neo-Nazis, despite pretending this is an anti-Nazi operation, as well as the far left, as well as the Taliban, as well as anybody, if he thinks it serves his agenda to weaken and divide Western societies, to promote maximalist positions, to cause discord and disharmonious relations between rival nations, his rivals. So don't go. And now there are other people, and there are actually 7 more Americans who the United States government did not secure the release of, and maybe didn't even try to. And it's surprising, perhaps contentious, that they prioritize the release of Russian citizens, people solely Russian citizens, people who, citizens of Russia and another Western country, for instance, the United Kingdom, rather than Americans. You think that US citizens would be top priority, and who seem to transgress Russian law in a very minor way, allegedly slapping a policeman, possession of a tiny amount of cannabis. So Russian prison sentences are genuinely harsh, but the Russian government seem to have genuinely thrown the book at these people, not because they mind that much, but it gives them more leverage. If you want this person free, you got to give us one of our spies or terrorists you caught, or indeed reduce military aid to Ukraine, something like that. So don't go. That's why I think actually should be banned. Maybe a bit like the US policy towards Cuba, like a $10,000 fine if you go there without permission. They can get a Cuba for cultural tours. I mean, so I would allow diplomats, and maybe that's just about it. Perhaps people with like close blood relatives to go to Russia, because you're making yourselves a target. And you could be there, and then there's pressure on whatever Western government, the Irish government, whoever it is, German government, to get your person out. Domestic opinion demands you get this person out before he or she dies in prison under these horrifically cruel conditions. So people mustn't go there. And plus, you're spending money. You're actually funding Putin's brutal, barbaric regime. So that's why I think people shouldn't go there, which is an awful pity. I would really like to go back to Russia. I've got friends there. We'd like to see St. Petersburg again, to get there some summertime. I'm afraid it's just not going to be safe for several more years there, or indeed Belarus, which to some extent is a satrapy of the Russian Federation. Goodness, don't go. Meet your Russian friends in a neutral country like Turkey that you can fly to, that they can fly to easily and without any need for a visa. So thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.